Your girlfriend will hate Bird Dog's khaki shorts. She'll say the llamas on their website look like a preschooler's birthday party invite, not an apparel company. She'll say the sexual innuendos in their newsletters are meant for 7th graders, not grown men like you. She might even tell you that naming one of the products, quote, Fistover Columbus, is borderline offensive. But as soon as you feel their soft inner liner and see how great their stretch material makes you look, you'll never want to take them off. Go to birddogs.com/radio to find out for yourself. They'll even throw in a free tumbler. That's birddogs.com/radio.
Why would you break into these apartments?
For money, for drugs, whatever was in there.
Weren't you ever afraid of getting caught at doing this?
No. Who's going to catch us? We're the police.
It was the early 1990s, the height of the crack era, and instead of locking up drug dealers, some New York City cops had become them.
I would suit up in my uniform, and we're going to rob some drug dealers. And I know how to do it really well.
This is the inside story of the biggest police corruption scandal in NYPD history and the investigation that uncovered it all.
Did you consider yourself a rat?
100%. I saved my soul just like everybody else does.
Listen to and follow The Set, an Odyssey Originals documentary podcast series, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your shows.
I'm not a bad guy, man, but I loved being that dirty mother.
Alrighty, final hour of the show on a Friday. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports is going to be stopping by in about 40 minutes from now. Fun show so far. Kenny Clark just joined us about 40 minutes ago from the Packers. He says, absolutely the Packers are getting disrespected this year, but he absolutely loves it, and it's the first time in his career that he really feels like the Packers have ever been disrespected. And he keeps on saying that Jordan Love is working his ass off for the Packers. And we were also joined earlier in the program by BYU quarterback Keaton Slovis, who has played at USC and also Pitt. Now, final year of college eligibility with the Cougars of BYU. And that was a fun conversation with him. And, you know, you have BYU, one of those teams that are now going into the Big 12, and you're trying to see a program that's been really solid under Kalani Sitake. Just where what they can do and what they could accomplish year one in a new conference with a good schedule, and they play an SEC opponent as well in Arkansas. By the way, you can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Brian, Jack McKeon, we do this segment every Monday and Friday right here on CBS Sports Radio on the Zach Gelb Show. It's Onside's Offside. Let's get to it. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Bam, 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 bam. All right, McKeon, what do you got?
All right, Zach, lots of news in the sports world. Let's get to the first thing. Damian Lillard, this saga continues and continues and continues. It seems like the only place that he's going to realistically wind up is Miami at this point. Who would, I think you'd call this the big three, right?
No.
Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, and Damian Lillard, no?
See, here's the thing. Jimmy Butler is a star, but it took people for years to realize that he could be a top 10 player in the league. Bam is good, but he's too inconsistent from looking great and then slowing down a little bit. And then Damian Lillard, we know how great it is. I would think this would be looked at more so as a dynamic duo with Jimmy Butler and Dame, and then you have a really strong number three in Bam Adebayo. But if you look at a championship team, if you tell me Dame probably is the best player on that team, but Jimmy will be referred as the one because he's been there longer. Mm-hmm. If you have a duo of your first two best players being Jimmy Butler and Damian Lillard, and Bam Adebayo is your third best player, in a league of dynamic duos, that's a really strong third piece. I would say it's like a 2.5 of the big three.
Well, they're one of the better teams in the East, I'd say. So onside, offside, Zach, if this trade goes through, Miami becomes the team to beat in the East.
Yeah, I think this trade will eventually happen, but it's going to take some time. Right now, I'm going to say the Boston Celtics are the best team in the Eastern Conference. But if the Miami Heat ends up getting Damian Lillard, this is a team that was in the play-in tournament. They've been to the finals now twice with Jimmy Butler there. If you give me a team of Damian Lillard and you have Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, I think that's a stronger trio compared to Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, Andrew Holiday, compared to even Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and now Kristaps Porzingis, which I like that move by the Celtics. So, yeah, I would say on sides here that if the Miami Heat ends up getting Damian Lillard, and they still have Jimmy Butler and also Bam Adebayo, that, yeah, they would be the team to beat in the East on sides.
So I was very invested this past week, and I'm sure you were invested, but not as invested as me, maybe.
In what?
In the MLB All-Star Weekend.
Well, Monday was the Home Run Derby. The Derby was good. The Derby was solid. The actual All-Star game, yeah, it's fine. I watched. It's not as if I didn't care, but it's not as if it was the same when I was a youngster, let's just say.
I feel more invested.
Where I'd be sitting there living by every pitch and saying, Mom, please let me stay up and watch the All-Star game like when I was 7 years
old.
That
was me. I was begging to watch the All-Star game.
Well, back then, yeah, it was fun. Now, all All-Star games are kind of boring.
Well, the All-Star break ended a few hours ago, and an impressive set of performances were from the guys in the Home Run Derby. I thought it was great. One change I'd like to see, though, I want them to go back to the 10-out format. I don't like the timer, mainly because these guys are hitting monster home runs. I want to sit and admire those home runs. You see, Luis Robert was hitting balls 500 feet, and we can't even run the balls landing because he's already got to get another swing. That's one change that I would make. Onside or offside, would you change that? And if you could add a little bit, are there any other changes that you would make to the format?
So I understand what you're saying, and I don't think it's a horrible point. I also think it's the person presenting the game to you. I said this 2 years ago. I called him Robot Ravage, and Carl Ravage, who I think is a very good studio host, but when he has to do play-by-play, I don't like it. And when you have the Home Run Derby, and Ravage even admit to it, it's the toughest thing to call because you have to be on the fly. I need someone with an entertaining kind of broadcasting style and that can keep up with the high pace. Like, if you put Chris Berman back
perfect.
There. Back. All right, gone. The next one, back. Gone. Like, Berman was great. Now, if you tell me Berman's too old and he can't do it anymore, and if it would be too many, back, and he would miss a bunch of pitches, fine. But there's got to be someone at ESPN with how many people. I know they got rid of a lot of people. It stinks. But with how many people that they have hired, there has to be someone, whether they're on the roster or not, that will even take a pay cut to do the Home Run Derby with that platform. Ravage is just not the right guy, and I think it impacts the viewer. I really do.
Can I go at you for one thing you said, though? Toughest thing to call?
No, that's what Ravage said.
I mean, come on. Like,
that's what he said.
I get it, but come on. Zach, I mean, come back to me. Toughest thing to call in sports? Hockey's got to be way tougher to call than the Home Run Derby.
He said it's difficult to call.
I wouldn't think so, honestly. I would think the player comes up, you bring up some stats about the player, how many home runs he's got this year, what's his longest home run, and then you watch him hit.
Well, McKeon, once again, these aren't my words. They're his words. It's the most difficult thing to call.
Especially the Home Run Derby, where these guys are hitting 400-foot home runs.
Well, here's the thing. If you have the play-by-play broadcaster saying it's difficult to call,
I don't believe
he shouldn't be calling the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, if he's admitting it publicly. And again, that's one of those things where, you know how you say with play-by-play, I mean, neither me or you do it, but you're supposed to let the picture tell the story. That's the definition of it.
Well,
you guys are hitting 400-foot home runs.
I do play-by-play, and then I say I can't do play-by-play because then I'll get sued, so I don't do play-by-play when we have live events going on.
Well, you do, but you're not allowed to.
I don't do play-by-play.
No, you don't. You're right.
I say I'm not doing play-by-play, so if I say I don't do play-by-play,
yeah,
I'm not doing play-by-play.
No, you would never do something
the
like that.
The shot goes up, it's good. I'm not doing play-by-play, folks.
No,
just got to remind you.
Shot the shot. So
the question is that I would, what, go back to 10 outs?
Yeah.
Offside, I would get a better play-by-play guy. That's what I would do.
Okay,
you know,
interesting.
See what Doc Emmerich is up to, seriously.
Wow, now imagine him calling the Home Run Derby.
Remember he did the Pirates for a little bit a few years ago.
Yeah, that would be fascinating. I'd bring
him
back.
He wouldn't do it.
He wouldn't. No, he's
done. You want to know why? I love Doc. I actually remember when we had Doc in the weekend overnights. Doc has been very, very kind to me. I remember
one of my proudest moments as a young producer, yeah.
Yes, you put out, because it was recorded, because Doc wasn't coming on at 3:30 in the morning, and McKeon put on Instagram that he's about to press the clip of the Doc Emmerich interview. I remember this.
As a hockey fan, that was so exciting.
That was awesome.
Oh, my God, that was amazing.
No, I've talked to Doc a bunch.
The peanut butter sandwich story.
Yeah. Wow, good memory.
Yeah.
Where it was the Rangers-Capitals 3 overtime game years and years ago, and that's when he had a little peanut butter, and that's what he does. Anytime it's a long game, get a little energy with some peanut butter. It's kind of like Hickey. You know, Mr. Peanut Butter Review himself. That's the only time Ryan Hickey will get compared to Doc Emmerich. But you haven't heard from Doc. Like, I've texted him here and there, but you have not really heard much of
him. Listen, he told you he was going to retire and go away, and he did it.
And I respect that because there's a lot of people in this industry who have not even come close to accomplishing anything that Doc Emmerich has, that they can't quit the industry when they want to quit the industry.
They miss the attention.
Yeah.
They miss the attention.
So, no, I would just get a different play-by-play guy for the Home Run Derby. I would not go back to the 10
Yeah, not when a guy admits he can't do it, he probably can't do it.
Who?
When a guy admits he can't do it, he probably can't do it.
I thought you said Ian. I'm like, Ian Eagle could definitely do the Home Run Derby.
Interesting. I don't know if I'd love Ian Eagle doing it, though.
That's an
entertainer. Kevin Harlan's a good one.
Very good guy.
He'd be very good for the Home Run Derby.
He would be.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one. And there's a streaker on the field.
Wow, that's a homer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember, he was like, put a bra. I mean, take your bra. Oh, what was he saying? What was the line?
About bras?
The guy ran on the field and he had a bra. And he's like, take the bra off and be a man. That's what he was saying.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff. I don't know if you saw this new series on Netflix that came out called Quarterback. It's a series that Netflix does with a bunch of different sports, basically documentary shows that they do. Well, they came out with a new one called Quarterback, where they follow three quarterbacks around the league. Now, I don't know if you've heard about this one. Have you heard of it yet?
Everyone's heard about it. Everyone's talked about it.
All right, great.
Are you being sarcastic there?
No, I more want to make a point at the quarterbacks that they decided to put on this show.
Okay, go ahead.
Because Pat Mahomes is a good one.
It's
very
a great
good one.
It's the best quarterback in the league.
Excellent. Kirk Cousins is...
Pretty woman. He sang that song in high school.
He's an interesting guy, so I'll give you that. But Marcus Mariota... Who cares?
One intriguing reason for Mariota, but ask the question.
Onside or offside, do you have any interest in this TV series other than Mahomes?
So I get home last night, and I go, I want to go on Netflix to watch this. And you know how everyone has shared Netflix accounts, and they have now cut down on that? So I did not have my own Netflix account.
And this is how you discovered it.
And I go to log on, and I heard the rumors about this, but I don't watch Netflix a lot to begin with. And it was so-and-so's Netflix is being used somewhere else. So this weekend, I could have just paid for it. It was a buddy of mine's Netflix. But this weekend, I'm going to my parents' house, and they have Netflix. So I think I don't know how many episodes there are, but I'm going to try to watch as many as possible. And then if I still have to watch more episodes, I will pay and get my own Netflix. I'll tell you why Marcus Mariota could eventually be interesting. Because I'm with you. Like, at first, why the heck are they taking Marcus Mariota? He stinks. Kirk Cousins is my name. I'm good with Kirk Cousins. Mariota quit on that team. Remember, they followed him last season. How much will they show with this exclusive access of him quitting on the team? Because I still want to know how that went down.
So do I, but I mean, Marcus Mariota is not a name in the NFL anymore. He's not.
He used to be.
He used to be, but he's not now. And having him in the series now, to me, that doesn't work. Like, and I don't know if Kirk Cousins is the most interesting guy to have on the series either. Again, Mahomes, terrific.
No, but they had a really good season last year.
Yeah, but you couldn't.
I like Kirk Cousins.
You couldn't have got Joe Burrow. But there's more interesting guys to get on.
Maybe they didn't want to do it.
Lamar Jackson in the middle of the contract dispute.
I don't think Lamar would have done it. I really don't.
I don't know. That, to me, the two other names besides Mahomes are take it or leave it.
Well, you could say that, but...
They're NFL quarterbacks, and that's awesome. But I am intrigued, though, to see their daily lives, how they go through their routines and stuff like that. That does interest me. But seeing how Kirk Cousins goes through his game day prep is...
Marcus Mariota was a really big deal at one point. That sign that they had it when he was at Oregon. When I think he won the Heisman, actually.
He did, yeah.
When it was Jesus Mariota national title. That was a great sign. I remember seeing that during a game. I have interest in it because it's the NFL and we're interested about all things NFL. So on sides. Honestly, you could put the three worst quarterbacks in the league. And we would watch it because it's NFL content, exclusive NFL content.
I agree with you. The NFL is king. I think they could have done better.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Mariota's debatable. Mariota's the one that I'll give you because I had the same reaction. Cousins is a big enough name. Good job. Mahomes, excellent. That's the number one. Mariota, they got lucky because he'll probably be as boring could be, and I've not seen it yet until you have that whole blow up at the end. You got to give me something. It can't be like when Antonio Brown was on Hard Knocks with the Raiders and he was threatening to punch the GM in the face and he gets thrown off the team and they didn't show us anything.
Oh, they showed us his feet.
Oh, yeah. A lot of it. Rex Ryan loved that episode. I'll tell you that. Next question. Go ahead. I feel bad for Rex. Every time his name gets brought up on this show now.
That's with feet.
He loves feet. Next question.
The trade deadline in baseball is about to hit, Zach, with a ton of attention circling around whether or not Shohei Ohtani or Juan Soto will get moved. I got a question for you. It's going to take a significant amount from either team's farm system that trades for either of these guys. Is it worth it, though?
absolutely on sides here. You come off to me as someone that's a prospect nerd. That's, oh, I got the second prospect in MLB. I got the third. He's the third best. The top 10. I got a sixth guy, a seventh guy. And have you ever seen them play? Nope. And you upset. I'll give you all the prospects that people, Lastings Millage, Fernando Tatis. I remember at the Phillies, Kyle Drabek. Who's that guy? Sixto Sanchez or something? You can't trade him. All these guys that you tell me you can't trade. I know Jared Kelenic has turned around, but when the Mets traded him, it was as if they traded the next great hitter of all time. He was horrible last year. So if you want something, you got to give up a lot. I'm good with trading prospects.
But even for 2 months of Shohei Ohtani?
Well, I have to be pretty confident that I'm going to get him and I'm going to be able to retain him.
No, I'm just saying if you're going to get him for the rest of the year, is it worth depleting your farm system?
Because I think you only make that trade if you think you could re-sign him. So, yes, if that gives you a leg up to getting Ohtani permanently, absolutely on sides.
Interesting. I like your thought. The NFL Hall of Fame eligible list came out for 2024, and some of the names highlighting the list, Zach, Julius Peppers, Eric Berry, Jamal Charles, Sebastian Janikowski.
First-round pick as a kicker.
And Brandon Marshall. And this list, for one, makes me feel really old because this is like the first Hall of Fame list I can remember where I remember watching literally every single player.
Yeah.
And remember what teams they're on and everything. But onside or offside, these guys are all Hall of Famers.
All Hall of Famers, Julius Peppers, absolutely. Brandon Marshall has a case. Jamal Charles will not be a Hall of Famer, but he was electric. Eric Berry was a fascinating story, and he was really good. I think there's a case. I don't think he'll get in. Sebastian Janikowski, no. Very memorable, but he's not a Hall of Famer. So you ask me, all of these guys are easily Hall of Famers. Some of them are, but then some of them aren't, so the answer is offside.
Offside.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Coming on back.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, real quickly, McKee, and I have to ask you this because I haven't checked in with you on this in a long time. The reason I call you Brian Jack McKeon is at first I heard your last name was McKeon and all I've ever thought of was Jack McKeon. And then I remember when we were working together years ago, you said to me that you're related to the former Marlins manager, Jack McKeon. Have you seen Jack McKeon lately? Just one
day. Not since a family reunion.
Years ago. He's 92.
I'll ask my grandpa how he's doing.
How are you guys related?
He's a great uncle of mine.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, I'll ask my grandpa how he's doing. He lives out in Arizona.
Now, let me ask you this. Like, when you were growing up as a kid, did you know that?
No idea.
Not
I didn't
at
find
all.
Out until I was like 12.
Really?
Yeah, my grandpa told me. He's like, you know, we're related to him. And I'm like, no. And he's like, yeah, we talk all the time. Me and him are like cousins. And I was like, oh, thanks for letting me know. I'm a big baseball fan. You know, I like to consider myself a historian of the game. I definitely know who that is.
Do you think if you would have known that,
would I be a pro baseball player? Absolutely.
No, that's not what I was going to say. But you are a jackass. That is funny. Would you have been a Marlins fan?
No. No chance.
Not at all?
No. I mean, the Yankee blood was too strong in my family. Like, I had uncles that made sure when I was born that I would become a Yankee fan. I don't think they were going to allow that to happen. And plus, who wants to be a Marlins fan? Give me a break.
Well, that also must have been tough then for your family. Like,
it was the other side. My mom's side is the Yankee fans. My grandfather, my dad's side is the one related to
so
him.
So was there some cross-family contentious relationships there?
I don't know. I
don't remember it?
I don't
know. How old were you in 2003?
Six.
You were only six in 2003?
I was born 97.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're even making me feel old.
Yeah.
I have a lot of gray hairs now. I really feel old.
I have to ask that, actually, because it's fascinating, because my mom's side of the family is all my uncles who are big Yankee fans, and my dad's side of the family is the relative of Jack McKeon. So I'd love to know if they ever, like, if there was any animosity because the Yankees were playing the Marlins in the World Series.
Now, does your mom's side and dad's side outside of, like, a wedding ever converse?
No, they never talk, never see each other other than, like, a holiday or something like that. So I don't know if it ever, like, became – and, again, he wasn't around our family like where he's coming over for Easter and stuff.
Well, yeah, he was away for most of the year.
Well, because he was busy being an MLB manager.
Yeah, I say that all the time. There's one job in America I would never do. And if I could be a baseball player, obviously I would do it. If I could be a manager, I would obviously do it. The money's ridiculous. I would never want to be a baseball beat writer. I think baseball beat writing has to – I know it sounds fun. It's got to be one of the more miserable jobs in America. Ah, that's a little strong. In the sports world.
I mean, cleaning septic tanks sounds a lot worse than doing the Rockies beat.
But it is a miserable job because you have to, like, now at least you have the pitch clock, so the game speeds up a little bit. But there's a lot of times, like, we have a lot of athletes on the show that want to talk to us, and then there's athletes that come on, like you found out this week, Deebo Samuel, who doesn't want to talk to us.
I love it.
What I'm saying is, you have to, there's pre-game availability, post-game, there's too much availability in Major League Baseball.
I think I would have loved it, though. Just being a beat writer.
162 games. No,
yeah, but I can't get enough of that. I watch 162 games a year.
You need a life. You need a hobby. What are your hobbies?
I've got a girlfriend. Who's your girlfriend?
Trust me, there's been times I've had a girlfriend and you've been nowhere to be found. Yeah, and you've been a free agent.
It's just, you know, I love the sport. And again, the thing that intrigues me too is seeing all the ballparks per year and the travel. Like, the travel's all taken care of. You're going to all these interesting cities around the country. I love that aspect of it.
What do you do for fun?
I play guitar. I play instruments.
Oh,
I love music. Yeah, like okay. I have plenty of hobbies. I love baseball. I'm addicted to it. Maybe it's in my blood. Some would say, like, it's, you know,
literally.
Yeah. So like, maybe I could have became an MLB manager. I don't know. I should have probably had a better relationship with him.
I don't think you would have been a major league manager.
You never know.
I'm just gonna say I think you would lose. You would be the first one to lose a locker room. You know why? You know, be your biggest fault is as a manager.
Lose a locker room. Interesting.
You want to know why your biggest fault as a manager would be?
What is that?
Because a manager needs to say it's on me. A manager needs to say it was my fault. And just from some observations, never with me,
no,
of course.
No, of course not.
But just some observations around here.
No.
If McKeon makes a mistake, it's, oh, this isn't working. Or, oh, it's that person's fault. Or, oh, someone didn't tell me this. Here's what would happen. McKeon would be the manager that a lot of fans want in the year of 2023. When the manager gets up there and goes, you know, the guys tried hard. It's eventually going to happen. We'll be fine. McKeon would get up there and be like, guys, I put the pitcher in, but this pitcher should have pitched a whole lot better.
Isn't that what people want?
He stunk up the joint, and he was horrible.
Hold on. That's what every MLB fan base wants, that guy managing their team right now. So you're telling me I'd be a terrible manager. So they'd love me. I'd be a terrific manager. I would go on local sports radio all the time and be like, yo,
great.
I thought pitching him on Thursday was the right move, and turns out he sucked, and I don't know why he's on the team still.
Yep.
And you know what?
And guess what?
The fans would love me.
Okay. And that's why if the fans are your biggest supporter – and you don't have the respect of the locker room, and you're losing either way, you'll end up sitting with the fans.
I'd win. It's in my blood to
win. If you listen too much to the fans, you end up becoming a fan.
No, I'd win. I'm telling you, I'd be a winning manager. I have the mind for it.
You would be
horrible. No, I wouldn't. I think,
you know what? You'd be the first manager to go 0-162.
0-1. Wow. Who would I manage? Like, what? Out of any team around baseball, who do I seem to be the team?
The Marlins. It's in your blood.
No,
I can't
be a Marlins man.
Nepotism, right? At its finest.
I can't manage the Marlins. Like, that's terrible. I'd manage the Brewers. I think they're like irrelevant. They're irrelevant enough to like keep me hidden, but not. But also, like, they're also always a good team. Like, I would like to be the Brewers manager. Like, I'm not good enough to be the Cardinals manager. I can't, like, work with a franchise that's that mainstream.
Nah, you know,
Yankees, I can't
do. The movie, I think, is Little Big League, where the little kid ends up, owning the Twins and then manages the Twins.
I wouldn't want to own the Twins, no.
You would be like the Twins.
No, I can't, because then I'm guaranteed to lose the Yankees every year.
You're not going to be a winning manager anyway, so it doesn't matter. Oh, you know what? I know which team you'd manage.
Oh, God.
You'd fit right in with the Astros.
I can't do it. No, absolutely.
You're very disingenuous.
See, with what happened with the Astros, I wouldn't take the job. They could offer it to me tomorrow to replace Dusty.
Yes,
I'd say I'm good.
You're such a liar.
No, I'd say I'm good. Take a
lap. You're a fraud.
You're
an idiot. You're a moron.
The Astros could be listening to this conversation. Lunau could be listening to this conversation right now and be like,
who?
You know what? You know what? This kid does sound like he's a great baseball mind.
Did you say Lunau? He hasn't been there for years. Jeff Lunau?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was the guy that... didn't he get fired, Jeff Lunau?
But he could be listening to this conversation. He's still a baseball guy. And regardless, he was the GM of the Astros. He could be listening to this conversation knowing this guy's a great baseball mind.
Yeah.
This guy's got baseball in his blood. This guy should be managing my team. He should be taking over for the next manager. And after knowing about the cheating scandal, I would
politely
decline.
You know he's working in soccer now, Jeff Lunau?
Doing for what team?
I don't know, but I remember this a few years ago where he resurfaced in soccer, Jeff Lunau. I had him on before the scandal,
actually. Well, they do bang trash cans in soccer and the Vuvuzela. They do make a lot of noise, so I mean, it would work.
You're such a liar, though, because...
I would not take the job, no.
If any team in Major League Baseball offered you a job, you would take it in a second.
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
You could have this fake tough guy act.
I would tell them to take a lap.
Okay. Who are you, Mraz now? You just steal lines?
Mraz got that line from me. I've been saying that since high school, okay? Since before I even knew Mraz.
Mraz was like a grown adult when you were in high school.
That doesn't mean he was saying that line. He started saying that after I told him to. I told him that
You know
line.
What? I like Sean a lot. I like you a lot.
So do I.
But let's just be real
Sean's
here.
Sean's a great guy.
Let's just be real here. With,
Sean's a great guy, but who's leaving the station?
Can you shut up for a second?
Who's leaving the station?
Shut up for a second. He's going down the hall. Who's barely here? You. It's like the same thing. You guys will be up there the same amount of time. But you know what? I'm going to say that you're latching onto the coattails a little bit, Mraz. Mraz definitely said that first. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt over you.
He didn't. Okay.
There we go. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm very happy this week is over. We're getting very close to this
weekend. It's been rough for you.
It's weird.
Thank you for your service,
I'm actually very thankful that Hickey's coming back on Monday.
Wow.
I never thought I would be saying that, but trying to do a show with
someone's down bad.
It's just like, geez, Louise. Yeah, you open up that microphone. Once again, you give a mouse a cookie, he wants a glass of milk. That's a lesson from today, boys and girls, children of all ages. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We have to take a break because when we come on back, man, we met this guy at the Super Bowl with Thomas Dimitroff. They have founded Sumer Sports, and it is fantastic. And you have real intelligent people talking football. They got all these numbers. They got good opinions as well. And I always love when Eric Eager joins us because I never know what's he going to say and what kind of information that he has. So he'll join us on the other side. But first up, standing by with the latest CBS Sports Radio update. Here he is, Pete McCarthy.
Take me now, baby, here's I am.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
Desire's hunger is the fire I breathe.
All righty, final segment on a Friday. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We'll continue the football chatter right now with one of the brightest minds covering the NFL. He is the VP of Sumer Sports, and that, of course, is our pal in Eric Eager. Eric, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Zach, I'm doing well. I'm now ready for the season, man. I feel like the offseason is a little too long.
Yeah, so there's been so much conversation already, and I'm with you. I love summer, but I'm ready to get to September and have the season underway. So I'll start you off with this. Who's a team that really no one's been talking about or you haven't heard a lot about that you're like, all right, I like that team a lot more than what people are not saying?
Good question. You know, it's funny. Relative to market prices, I actually like Houston better than what everybody's saying. I think if you look up and down the roster, other than wide receiver, where there are some real question marks, it's actually hard to find like a real weakness of that team. And if you get some high level play out of Will Anderson and CJ Stroud in year one, that division's bad enough where I think that, you know, 10 wins is not outside the question, which
wow.
is crazy to say after the last few seasons, right?
Yeah, as long as Trevor Lawrence is healthy and they never allow Urban Meyer back in that locker room, I would pick the Jaguars this season. But, you know, if they could propel themselves into second place or even third place this year, I think that's a win for the Texans.
Yeah, and D'Amico Ryans is somebody, you know, who, you know, there's question marks because Robert Saleh in New York, it's like he's gotten that team off the ground a little bit, but, you know, he's the guy that preceded D'Amico Ryans in San Francisco, so there's always going to be a comparison of how much of it is the talent in San Fran versus how much of it is the coaching on the defensive side. But if it's even a little bit of the coaching, I think he'll really help there. You have Stingley and Anderson, 2 third overall picks at really premium positions for that defense. And, you know, on offense, you have a pretty good offensive line. And C.J. Stroud going in, my former colleague at PFF, Bobby Sloak, the offensive coordinator. Like, I think that there's a chance there. And, you know, one of the few kind of AFC is pretty stacked. The South is the one where you'll have some uncertainty, I think.
Yeah, a team that I look at right now is the Steelers. I like the Steelers, but it's so tough to say that the Steelers are going to go make the playoffs just because the AFC, like you just said, is absolutely loaded.
Yeah, the North has an easier schedule than, you know, some of the other, like the South has an easier schedule in the AFC, but the North, you have the Ravens, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati all have per game easier schedules than the average team on a neutral field. So at least they have that going for them. I give Pittsburgh about an 8.5 point win total, which is right about where the market is. But yeah, they could surprise. Pickett was actually fairly good last year. If you look at the underlying numbers down the stretch, and you know, obviously a lot of come from behind wins, which was fun to see at the end for them.
Eric Eager, I want to discuss the Rams, too, as one of those teams. I'm not buying in because it seems like a lot of guys have 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and then Bobby Wagner wanted to get on out of there because he doesn't think that they're going to be all that competitive and be a championship-contending team is a cause for concern. Where are you at on the buyer's market with the Rams this year?
So on one hand, the Cardinals are in that division, and so it's hard for me to think of the Rams as a tanking team because there's always going to be a team below them in that division. But it is the NFC, and so there's always a chance. I think they ride it as long as they have Donald, Kupp, and Stafford healthy. I think if any one of those three gets hurt, they're going to be playing, for next season. So that's my take. I'm not betting on them either. Because I don't know the motivation of that team. And when you look at, year-to-year predictions, it's just always hard to infer. Last year, I thought Seattle was tanking, and they end up making the playoffs. So, that's kind of where I see the Rams. It's a very big unknown.
Who knows when Kyler Murray, since you brought up the Cardinals, Eric Eager, is going to come back. I know he said he was targeting week one. You could target it. I'd be very surprised if he's on the field. But they're going to have two pretty high up picks, assuming that your Texans prediction doesn't come to fruition. That could throw it a little bit out of proportion. But they do have their own pick, and the Cardinals aren't supposed to be good, like you were saying. Will this be the final year for Kyler Murray out there in the desert, even though they just extended him and gave him that crazy contract?
Yeah, it's weird because it landed so poorly for the Cardinals because this is one of the years where Murray is somewhat inexpensive, and it's the following year where it gets pretty deep for them, with cap hits over $50 million. The trading team that gets Murray will actually not have it be that bad because of, trades you end up with the salaries and stuff, but not the prorated bonuses. So they should be able to trade him. If they get picks one and two, I just don't see a situation where they don't go Caleb Williams, trade out of the second pick for Drake May, and then trade Murray and kind of build this thing with draft picks over the next few years. Now that doesn't always work. The process doesn't always work, as we've seen in other sports as well as this one. But to me, it would be too big of a bounty to give up to get Williams on a rookie contract, be able to offload Murray as well as that number. Let's say they get the number two pick as expected with Houston. Then it would, to me, I think this would be Murray's last year in Arizona. And as such, I don't even know if he plays it down.
Eric Eager here with us. I like the Commanders roster, Eric, but I have no clue what to expect at the quarterback position. What is Sam Howell going to be this year?
It's weird because Sam Howell at one point before the 2021
first
season
round
was
pick.
The favorite to be the first overall pick,
yeah,
which is crazy. He has the movement skills. He's a little shorter, but he has the movement skills, I think, to be somewhat of a player. Offensive line's okay for them. They're an injury or two away from it being bad. And then the skill positions, as you said, the rest of the roster is really good. They bring in Forbes from Mississippi State to add to Kendall Fuller, who was wonderful last year as a corner. I agree with you. To me, the only issue is last season, the whole NFC East had better than 500 records, but their schedules were all easy. This year, Washington is the fifth hardest schedule in the NFL, about two-thirds of a point per game harder than the average team on a neutral field. That's the only one that makes me a little bit concerned, but that entire division has tough schedules. So I think from that offense, you see Sam Howell get it on the green. Eric Bieniemy was very good in Kansas City. And if they don't, if Howell's bad, it's not like they invested so much in them. They wouldn't just turn to Jacoby Brissett, who has been low-key pretty good at getting teams at least to a median offensive production in his time in the NFL.
Eric Eager from Sumer Sports, their vice president. When we move to the NFC South, I kind of feel as if you have to pick the Saints, but I kind of don't want to because I'm tired of the roller coaster ride of emotions with Derek Carr. Do you go with the Saints in the South or somebody else?
As a Kansas City Chiefs fan, I'm going to tell you this, right? I'll never predict Derek Carr to host a playoff game in my life. I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. And I think it's got to be Atlanta. Atlanta's got the easiest schedule in the NFL. It's a point easier per game. Obviously Ridder has a lot of question marks, but there are a lot of really smart football minds that think he's, okay at least. Defensively, they got really good up the middle with Calais Campbell, David Onyemata, Jesse Bates. They did pretty good there. And then on offense, my boss, Thomas Dimitroff, he drafted all those linemen, and they're all got pretty good. And you put Bashawn Robinson, Tyler Allgeier behind there, and then you know, they throw to good guys in Drake London and Kyle Pitts. Like, it's just the quarterback. And when I think about an easy schedule, they're going to be ahead a lot. They're going to be able to run the football, stay ahead of the chains, and they're not going to really stretch out Desmond Ridder too much. So that's a good pick. I think Carolina is another sneaky one too, where with Frank Reich and Bryce Young and no, you know, draft picks to speak of next year, they're going to be competing to win this year as well. So motivation won't be a factor. I just think you got to fade New Orleans in a situation where everybody's getting old and they're counting on Derek Carr, who, when he started a game last year in New Orleans against the Saints, didn't cross the 50-yard line.
Are you from Kansas City?
I went to grad school near there, so gotcha. That's when I became a Chiefs fan, yeah.
What's your barbecue joint of choice? I went out there for the draft. I love Jack Stacks.
Jack Stacks, good. Joe's is the one that sponsors my podcast, The Red, Gold, and Bold Show,
gotcha.
Which I love a lot. Gates, is good as well. Like, you really can't go wrong, but Joe's is kind of near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, the lines there are always ridiculous, but excellent, excellent barbecue indeed. Wrap it up with Eric Eager, VP of Sumer Sports. All right, let's get to the guy that everyone's been talking about for 3 years, Aaron Rodgers. Year one with the Jets, what do you expect?
I don't think they win that division, but I do think that the ceiling is sort of a Tampa Bay 2020-like run. Rodgers' numbers last year were very similar to Brady's in his final year in New England. The Jets have a great defense, much like Tampa did in 2020. It was hidden a little bit. That Tampa 2019 defense was hidden by the fact that Jameis threw 30 interceptions. So their points per game weren't great, but their underlying metrics are good. You know, inserted Brady, everything came together. I think that that could happen with the Jets. And also similar to the Bucs in 2020, the Saints are a lot like, a lot like the Bills are, right? Where they're very good, but they haven't gotten over the hump. And, Tampa Bay got blown out by the Saints twice in the regular season and ended up beating them in playoffs. I think that that's the ceiling. Rodgers, his only Super Bowl win as a quarterback has come from the sixth seed. And I think that that would be the path for them if they were to end up winning, would be to kind of figure it out over the course of the year, win 10 or 11 games, get a wild card, and then Aaron Rodgers turn it on in January and February.
So from out with the old and with the new, Jordan Love in Green Bay, you're number one as a starter. I know he's been there for the last few years. Your expectations are?
That's the team in the NFC North that, if you look at market prices, that's the one to bet, because, you know, Matt LaFleur doesn't get, in my opinion, enough credit from taking a guy in Rodgers who had struggled to the point where they drafted Jordan Love in the first place. Two MVPs, three consecutive 13-win seasons. I think, if Jordan Love just draws between the lines, colors between the lines, I think that it'll be an effective offense with Christian Watson, Aaron Jones, and the tight ends they drafted, as well as a decent offensive line. I think the Packers are going to surprise people and compete in a weak NFC.
When you look at that NFC North with all that you just said, are you picking the Vikings or Lions, or do you go with the Packers?
I'm not picking the Vikings. I think the Vikings are like the easiest fade this year, the 13 wins, but the minus point differential. To me, that's a team that's in transition, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them win, five or six games this year. The Bears, I think, are a year away. So to me, it's only Detroit and Green Bay. And even though I think mathematically Detroit should be the favorite, I think Green Bay will surprise people.
Okay, Eric Eager, Saquon and Josh Jacobs, the deadline is approaching, coming up on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern. I think Saquon gets a long-term deal. I don't think Josh Jacobs will. What say you on the official prediction?
I don't hate the prediction for Jacobs the Las Vegas Raiders, who knows what they're doing. They're kind of in between land between rebuilding and trying to compete. They're not going to be competitive. So I don't see a point for them to go after Jacobs. I think that they play it out. I agree with the Barkley thing. Even running backs at the top of their game, if they take a year off, the market doesn't handle that very well. We saw that with Le'Veon Bell at Pittsburgh, and then eventually he went to New York, and 2 years later he's out of the league entirely. So I think Barkley is going to sign a deal. I don't know if it's going to be in that Kamara or McCaffrey range, but I think he will sign a deal, and he will be the cornerstone of that offense.
Which 49er quarterback do you think we're talking about the most at the end of the year with the quarterback roulette that they've been playing the last few seasons?
I do think odds are it's Purdy, but I'd like to see Lance. I just would like to see the upside there. I think Purdy is a solved problem. He's very good. It's funny, he trained with former Iowa State quarterback Sage Rosenfels, who also played for Shanahan. He kind of knew the answers to the test before he even got drafted, and it showed. I just don't think there's a lot of upside there. And Lance, to me, has the upside. I'd like to see him play and be successful.
Would you rank it right now Eagles 1, 49ers 2 in the NFC?
I would, but if I were betting, I'd bet on a team like Detroit or Dallas to get the one seed as opposed to those two. I just think there's too much riding on the Eagles, who have lost both coordinators, and the Niners, who we don't know who their quarterback is.
A team I also like, and I don't think they're going to win the division, but I think they could be a really strong wild card team, is Seattle. They have so many weapons on the offensive side of the ball. My question, just Eric Eager, is how much regression occurs this year with Geno Smith?
Yeah, it's a good one. 8.5 wins over to me is one of the better bets in the win total market, which is pretty beaten up right now and efficient. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. The thing about Geno is he regressed in the second half last year. So I think if Seattle's a smart coaching staff, which I think they are, I think Pete Carroll proved a lot of us wrong over the last couple of years. They'll address the things that went poorly. He faded down the stretch last year. So I hope that bringing in Smith Najigba, you know, get the two rookie tackles last year, get better in year two. I think they'll be better offensively, especially because it wasn't like, Geno was good the whole year and he tricked us into it. He faded at the end of last year. And I think that they'll do things to address it and give him a good second season as a starter in Seattle.
Last thing I'll ask you, Eric Eager, VP of Sumer Sports. Antonio Brown's name is back in the news, but this time, surprisingly, he didn't do anything. Just DK Metcalf said he's the greatest wide receiver of all time. We could push aside that comment, but it brings up the Hall of Fame. I've said it for years. Antonio Brown is a royal pain in the ass, but he was a great football player. And if I was voting for the Hall of Fame, I would put him in. How do you kind of look at the eventual Hall of Fame candidacy for one Antonio Brown?
Yeah, I think, look, if we're going to put, the Hall of Fame is full of people who have been similar to Antonio Brown. So unless we're going to go back and take them out, I think you have to put Brown in. Brown has been one of the best players at his position ever. He's not first. I mean, that's ridiculous. But he's one of the best ever, and I think he probably deserves to be in Canton.
He's the VP of Sumer Sports. We always love talking with him. One of the brightest minds covering the NFL right now. He's Eric Eager. Eric, appreciate the time. Have a good weekend.
Hey, Zach. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
There he is, Eric Eager, the VP once again of Sumer Sports. And that's actually all the time that we do have for you today on a Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show. Big thanks to Brian Jack McKeon for producing this extravaganza. Also like to thank BYU quarterback Keaton Slovis for stopping by, and Green Bay Packers great defensive tackle in Kenny Clark. We'll be back on Monday. Hope you have a great weekend. It will be the return of Hot Take Hickey. And also coming up on Monday, Chargers running back and fantasy football star for a lot of you, Austin Eckler. Always love when he joins us. He's going to stop by. So we can't wait to get going for another week of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Have a fun but safe weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. All righty, we out. Bye-bye. Peace.
We all have tasks we'd like to avoid, like mailing and shipping. It takes time lugging all those letters and packages to the post office. That's why you should try Stamps.com. For 25 years, Stamps.com has made mailing and shipping easy. You get all the services of the post office right on your computer, anytime. No traffic, no waiting, no hassle. Plus, you save money with discounts up to 84% on USPS and UPS. With Stamps.com, all you need is a computer and printer. Print stamps, print shipping labels, and if you sell products online, Stamps.com connects with every major marketplace and shopping cart, so you can spend less time on shipping and more time on your business. Get started with Stamps.com today. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale. Just go to Stamps.com and enter code PROGRAM.